Chapter 22. So, let me tell you what he said. I was talking to Ulysses about my dinner with Ken last night. I had tried to call Cade this morning, but he didn't answer. Surprising. I thought he would want to know about that revealing conversation. He wouldn't need to check on my safety. I was sure he had been somewhere just out of sight until I left the restaurant and got safely back home. Ulysses wandered away while I was in mid-sentence. I sighed, got up from the kitchen chair, and thought about what to do next. When in doubt, call a lawyer, I said to nobody in particular. I would call Ron Murray. I wanted to know if he had reached a decision about Miss Evangeline's paper that I had given him, and I was interested to hear if any of her relatives had as yet contacted him. As I reached for the phone, it rang. It was Cade. Ned, did Ken tell you anything about his plans last night? Did he say that he was going to leave town? Cade asked, his voice taut. No, I said. He mentioned finding Miss Evangeline and said that she was still alive when he found her, but died shortly after. He stayed with her until she breathed her last. Yeah, well, that's really no surprise. I didn't often hear sarcasm in Cade's voice, but I heard it now. Last night, one of my guys tailed him until he left the city limits, Cade said. A sheriff's deputy was supposed to follow him then, but the guy lost him. He's not home this morning. Truck is gone. Nobody at the farm knows where he is. Looks like he's flown the coop. Now are you convinced he's guilty? An innocent person wouldn't run away. No, I'm not convinced. I agree that it was a dumb thing for him to do, but he said he was going to find out who killed Miss Evangeline. Maybe he's following up on some sort of a hunch. Besides, what reason would he have to murder a boss who evidently was good to him? His mom in Kentucky and Miss Evangeline were friends. I've got an idea or two on that, Cade said. Meanwhile, if he contacts you or you hear from him, will you give me a call? You know I will, I answered. This was a surprising development. Ken had not acted wisely about the whole episode of finding Miss Evangeline. Certainly he should have told Cade she was alive when he reached her and what she said to him. I don't know why she said those two words, I'm sorry. They didn't make sense to me, but maybe she thought they would to Ken. Leaving town made Ken a fugitive, even if he wasn't guilty. I made the appointment with Ron and started to his office early enough to drop by the library and talk to Greta. So you think those gals at the farm might actually come to the luncheon? Greta asked. I shrugged. They're thinking about it. Myra was the only one who was enthusiastic about coming. Greta quirked an eyebrow. That's another one I can't quite figure out. I'd think the Carver farm would be the last place she'd want to work. Her husband is another casualty of Judson's hard heart. After they lost their farm to the bank, he shot himself. That was about 20 years ago. Maybe Miss Evangeline was just trying to undo some of her father's wicked decisions, I said. Maybe she was kinder than she was given credit for. Greta grinned. You really liked her, didn't you? I did, I agreed. I liked her spunk. Myra seems happy at the farm, and she was certainly upset when Miss Evangeline turned up dead. Jules doesn't seem to hold a grudge either. You didn't tell me he's Irish. To my shock, Greta started giggling. The giggle turned to a laugh. Library patrons looked up from their books and stared. She laughed until tears ran down her face. At last, she grabbed a tissue, blew her nose, and gasped. Oh, I should have warned you. So he was Irish, was he? Certainly, I said. Surely you knew that. She sank down on a chair and motioned for me to pull up another one. Speaking just above a whisper, she said, Jules is what you might call a bit different. He's a lot of fun, has a jolly disposition, and a vivid imagination. I guess ordinary, everyday life is too dull for him. He loves to read, reads constantly. He likes to take on the leading character of whatever book appeals to him at the moment. He must have been reading a book based in Ireland. He's no more Irish than the man in the moon. It took a few moments for that to sink in, and then I smiled too. How original, I said. It would make life more fun, wouldn't it? I like Jules. Thanks for telling me about his little whims. I'll set 3 extra plates at the luncheon, just in case we have the Carver people as guests, Greta said as I got up to leave.
Grand, I said in my best Irish brogue, and I'll do me best to prepare a scintillating little talk of some kind.
I left the library grinning.